Good morning, everyone. Can someone type in the chat, please, if you can hear me okay? This is Coach Heather. Okay, good. I'm just going to go ahead and set up the room. If you guys would tell me where you're coming from this morning, where you're from. And for those of you listening on the replay, this is an early Monday morning call. So tell me what you're enjoying for your beverage, coffee, tea, water. What are you having? We'll get started in just a minute. Okay. Good morning, everyone. I see some of you are having your breakfast. Good morning, Alabama, Utah, New Jersey. Okay. So we're here to talk about the 2-pound takedown. And I'm here to help you guys troubleshoot in order to get the scale moving and reach your goals that you set for yourself. I am going to need to mute everybody. Make sure that you guys are all muted. We will have time for Q&A. So this is how the class is going to work. It's 1 hour. This will be available as a video replay on the website. It will be available on the private member podcast. And this is part of the 2-pound takedown self-study workshop. Okay, so today, like I said before, I'm going to teach you how to use your data to figure out how to get better weight loss results for your weigh-in day. So here's what we're going to do. The first thing I need from someone is, because I'm going to be reading from some of my outline, if you guys could put in links or if you have some answers for any questions, try to hold your questions until I take questions, because I'm not really going to have my eyes on the chat so much. Okay, so the first thing I'm going to do is teach you the 6 most common ways to use your data to spot patterns for weight loss troubleshooting. Okay, your data, when you look at it in a certain way, will tell you what to look at and therefore what to focus on to get the results that you're looking for. Then I'll take some question and answer. I want it to be kind of rapid fire. So I want, when we get there with Q&A, I want you guys will be raising your hand just to give you a little lesson on that. On the bottom of your screen where it says, see where it says reactions? You're going to click that, not now, but when it's time. When it's time, you're going to click reactions. When you can click it now just to see what it says. And there's some emojis there, and then there's a button option to raise your hand. So when it comes time for Q&A, you'll click that button to raise your hand if you have a question. What I want you to do during Q&A is to bring me something about your data. So maybe that's, I didn't get the weight loss that I wanted. Maybe that's I'm overeating more than 3 nights per week. Maybe that's I'm eating off plan 2 or 3 times a week. Okay, that's all data. So that's a troubleshooting with data issue. Okay, but I'm going to want you to listen to my lesson first, and then we can go through that. I will help coach you to direct you what you need to be asking yourself in order to use the data to figure out a solution for yourself. Okay, then I have a treat for you. I created a list of comparisons between a weight loss amateur and a weight loss pro. So as of today, I'm inviting you guys to start to consider yourself weight loss pros. I mean, you're showing up here on Monday morning. I know everybody here has a daily plan written, correct? If you have not written your daily plan, do it right now before we start. If you haven't done it and it takes you a while, just go do that first. That's the most important thing. Good. We have data lovers here. Okay, then I'm going to go over the deep dive data weekly worksheet just to familiarize some of you with what it looks like. It's not officially part of the four basics, but for those of you who really are intrigued by data after today's lesson, I'll show it to you and I'll show you how you can use it to help yourself troubleshoot. And then if we have time, we'll go into breakout rooms and you guys can talk amongst yourselves. That's optional. And we're going to leave it right for the very end. So those of you who don't want to do the breakout rooms can just leave the call at that point. And then the people who want to be social and meet some of your No BS women, you guys can stay for that. Okay. Good. I'm so glad the deep dive data worksheet has changed everything for Wynn. That makes me really happy, Wynn. All right. So let's talk data. Basically, as long as you're losing weight and you're pretty close to your goals, you don't really need to dive too much into the data. What that means is if the scale is tracking where you want it to, what you're doing is working. So don't worry about it too much. But if you are interested in more of a deeper dive, when the scale is not doing what you want it to do and you're not really sure how to fix it, now is the time to dive into your data. So we're going to review, like I said, the six most common data patterns we see associated with a lack of weight loss. And then I'm going to teach you how to translate the data. So the first one is if your weight has not changed in 3 to 4 weeks. Does anybody know what that means? Take a guess. Put it in the chat. What does it mean? What is the data whispering to you? If your scale has not changed in 3 to 4 weeks, overeating, eating too much, plateau. Yes. Maybe not on plan. Maybe. Yes. You're eating for maintenance. Andrea, you got it. That's my preferred answer or way to look at it. Doesn't mean the rest of you are wrong, but it does mean that you figured out maintenance at that weight. Okay. So your focus will be on the four basic of doable hunger. You're going to want to really focus in on that. Now, remember, there's two parts to doable hunger. One is eating when you're hungry. That includes snacks. So many of my clients, I bust them on this. Well, I have my planned snack every day. And I say, are you really hungry for that snack? That's very tricky to do, to really be very honest with yourself if you're hungry for your snack. So I found that was where I could level up. So if I really want my snacks, I have them with my meal. I don't have them in between meals. You may need to think out of the box if you want your snacks, have them for your mealtime. Sometimes I have meals that are just snacks. Yes, I have snacky lunches, says Jean. Okay, so here's my question for you. If this is you and your weight hasn't changed in 3 to 4 weeks, you're focusing on doable hunger, you're going to comb through all of your daily assessments, and you're going to ask yourself, am I eating past enough? And there's resources, tons of resources on the site for tricks and tips to not eat past enough. And then there's also tricks and tips for not eating unless you are physically hungry. That means you ask your stomach, okay? We never just eat because we have a thought to eat, because your brain wants to eat all the time. Your brain wants all that dopamine from that food. You have to ask your stomach. So I have a little analogy for this. I think about that like a bouncer. So my physical stomach is like the bouncer in the club, okay? I ask him if we can let any food in the stomach. The bouncer's job is to let you know if there's room. And he is I hired him to create a VIP experience in my stomach. We've all been to a club that is way too crowded, right? It's not fun. In this analogy, that means you're overeating. So I ask my physical stomach, I ask my bouncer, am I hungry? Can I eat? Your physical stomach will never lie to you. It will always tell you the truth that your body, you can trust your body. Okay. So ask him, am I hungry? He will say yes or no. And then if you continue to have a thought about wanting to eat, you know that you have a habit of wanting to eat, or you're wanting to eat to regulate your emotions or to feel better. That's emotional overeating. So you see, you just use these clues and you go through. So I've given you my bouncer of the stomach analogy. Okay. Ready for data trick number two. Oh, wait, before we move on. If your weight hasn't changed in 3 to 4 weeks, we ask the bouncer of the stomach before we eat. We work on doable hunger. And here's what I want you to ask yourself. Why are you still overeating or eating when you're not hungry? Why? Just that simple question. Guess at the answer. That is why you continue to overeat, whatever that answer is. Oh, I'll feel better if I eat. I'll get more energy if I eat. That's all bullshit. The only thing that food solves is physical hunger. If you are using food for other reasons, you need to solve for those reasons. And the No BS course has everything you need for that. Go back there and use some of those resources. Okay, good. We're ready to move on to number two. So is this you? If you aren't planning and assessing, or you're doing it when you just feel like it, or here's a good one. On the weekends, I'll just eat when I'm hungry and stop when I've had enough. But I'm not really gonna, it's just so busy on the weekends, or I get distracted. Okay. This is where we get into like being a weight loss pro. I want you to ask yourself this question if this is you. Why are you not planning and assessing? That reason, I want you to really look at if it's true, if it's helpful, or if it's kind to yourself. Remember that planning and assessing is first and foremost about self-care, and it's about your belief in the process. So if you're not doing it every single day, you're being a weight loss amateur. Okay, it's one thing if you're losing weight, okay, and maybe you're not planning every day. That's fine. I'm talking about not planning every day and not losing weight. You're not using the tools that are there for you. And you need to ask yourself why. That answer is really important. Okay, when we don't plan and assess every day, basically what happens is that you're still practicing your old eating habits because you're eating from in the moment urges of what looks good in the moment, right? You don't have your best self at heart when you make in the moment decisions about food. Weight loss is about making decisions ahead of time, which reflect how your future self will act around food and make decisions around food. So we channel that future self at goal weight by making our plan ahead of time and then assessing how we did. Okay, so what this points to is you might have limiting beliefs about planning and assessing and how useful they are. So you have a limiting belief about your tools that we're giving you, and you need to ask yourself why you're resistant to them. We know these tools work, so why wouldn't you use them? I want you to journal on that for number two. Okay, number three, moving on. Is this you if you are not losing weight and you're eating off plan 2 or more times per week? Okay. What the data is indicating is that you're not planning for how you're actually eating. And again, I would ask you this question. Why are you doing that? With No BS, there are many, many members, especially newbies, who have a limiting belief that they can actually eat what they want to eat as long as they use doable hunger. And I would just really challenge you to step into that new belief, because if the scale is not working, it means that what you're already doing isn't working. If you're virtuously planning because you think you have to have certain foods in order to lose weight, it's already not working. What do you have to lose? Try it for a week. When I really got this, I knew because I started planning for, I love a Dairy Queen soft serve in a kid's cup with chocolate sauce. And I did so many discovery worksheets for overeating that because I was always having it after a meal. And I like couldn't say I was having it when I was hungry. So now what I start to do is I plan it for lunch on Saturday, at least once a month. That's all I have for my meal. Like then I know I'm definitely hungry and I'll have stopped when I had enough. So that is not virtuous. Like the old me, the old diet mentality me would have been like, no way do we get Dairy Queen ice cream. And I tell you, I gave myself the gift of doing that and seeing that the scale. Hold on. Someone's unmuted. Okay. So here's my question for you. If you're eating off plan, work on your belief about virtuous planning. What are your thoughts about what kinds of food you have to eat in order to lose weight? Okay, all foods are neutral. There are no good foods. There are no bad foods. Even for those members who are diabetic, okay, it is still a choice that they make every day about how to eat. Nobody tells you how to eat. That is your choice. And when we own our choices 100%, we feel empowered, right? When we feel empowered, then if we don't want to have flour and sugar, that's our choice and we do it happily. But if we feel like we have to only eat, you know, like low carb, then we feel restricted. And when we feel restricted, you know, we can push ourselves to force ourselves into compliance only so long. And then all of a sudden we fucking eat. Because we don't, as human beings, we don't like to be told what we have to do. We are beings who like self-direction, self-actualization. We like to be in charge of ourselves. So do that. Take 100% responsibility. Okay. Number four. If you're eating when you're not actually hungry 2 or more days per week, I want you to ask yourself why you're doing that. If you say, I want to feel better or I deserve it, you are using food to emotionally regulate and telling yourself a lie that you feel better. Because the truth is food literally just sits there. It does nothing until you have a thought about it. So you really need to work on this belief that food makes you feel better. It is just a lie. Food, when you turn to food to feel better, you distract yourself from negative emotions, right? Because now you're thinking about the cookie or the ice cream or whatever you're eating. It's a distraction. It's smoke and mirrors. When you finish whatever you're eating, there's the negative emotions again. Okay. So the question for you is, why aren't you willing to eat less or not eat if you're not hungry? What's the worst that can happen if you short yourself a little bit of food? If you're working on eating too satisfied, right? Let's just take that example. Well, it means you'll be hungry in like an hour and a half, and then you can always have a few more bites of food. It's not a big deal. So, but when we resist this, it's because we have a belief like I have to overeat in order to feel good. It's just not true. So be willing to experiment with yourself. I guarantee you, you'll start to see some changes. Okay. Number five, insight number five is this you. If you're not losing weight, even though your data indicates you're following doable hunger 90 to 100%, You just keep checking that box, checking the box. Yep, I'm eating to enough. I'm not eating unless I'm hungry. 90 to 100%, but you're not losing weight. You guys, put it in the chat. What does that mean? Someone tell me. Take a guess. What does it mean? Okay, I'll repeat the question. If you're not losing weight, but your data indicates that you're following doable hunger 90 to 100% of the time. Okay, you're not being honest. Over your planning your food, you're not leveling up. Okay, here's what it is. You're eating, it's a perception issue, right? What you have thought is enough probably is still overeating. And as we lose weight, of course, we know we need to start to adjust to eating less food. So your perception of enough needs to change. Corinne talked about this last week about the lady who overserved herself potatoes and her husband. So it was like, wow, that's a lot of potatoes. And she was like, she felt a little miffed about it. Like, of course you're going to feel attached to like letting go of the amount of food that you typically give yourself, but be willing to experiment with a little bit less. You know, it's very taxing on the body to continuously give yourself more food than you need. Right? It's a loving thing to try feeding yourself just an optimal amount that you thrive on. That's not too much. Okay. So yes, you've misidentified with what enough is. So be willing to start describing a new way to describe enough. So the way that mine changed was I always used to say I can feel food in my stomach, but I'm not full. And then I realized that was when I could feel food in my stomach, that meant that I could still feel a little bit of stretching in my stomach. If I could feel any stretching, that for me and my body, and everyone is different, is still overeating. My scale will not move if I eat to that. When I lose weight eating to enough, now my new definition is I'm no longer physically hungry. And I can tell there's food in my stomach, but I can't feel any stretching at all. I like to call it like a neutral stomach. So what is your new definition of enough? Okay, that's where your work is, if that's your data. Okay, last one. Is this you with the 2-pound takedown? Remember we did all those 20 dual goals and we picked like 3 of them to work on. If you're not doing your do goals, I have a question for you that I want you to answer. In the moment when it's time to take action, why are you not taking action? Why? Get that answer out. It represents something, a belief block that you need to change in order to really like look forward to doing your do goals. Right. I was asking a client, one of my private clients, like she was complaining that she never goes to the gym and it's so hard. It's such a slog for her. And I said, well, tell me why. Like, what? Tell me all your thoughts about the gym. She was like, well, it's got a lot of germs and I don't really like the people and it's kind of dark and it's a big long drive. And I was like, well, look at all your thoughts about the gym. Like all you're thinking about is the negative. Like you either need to get a new gym or you need to start thinking about all the positives about the gym and how good you're going to feel. Then when you focus on that, then you're going to be motivated. Like every morning you need to start telling yourself, I'm ready to take action. I'm ready to go to the gym and set out your clothes, set yourself up for success. It is not enough to write down a do goal. You have to prepare your mind to be ready and excited to take that action every day, knowing it's going to move you closer to your goals. Okay. All right. We're through our 6 data patterns. I'm going to take some questions now. So Here's how I want to do it. I want you to bring me what your data challenge is. And then I'm going to help you try to figure out, like, if you don't, like, maybe you, okay, you could do it two ways. If you have an idea of what you should do because you're running into a challenge with your data, you can run it by me and I'll say yes or no. Okay. Or if you have no idea what to do, I'll help you direct you. But we're going to try to keep it short and sweet. I don't want a lot of backstory. I just want to know what your data is. I'm eating off plan. I'm not doing my due goals. I'm overeating at night. The scale isn't moving. Okay. So go down to reactions and click that raise hand button and I will ask you to unmute. I'm going to ask Kathy first. Kathy, can you start your video? There. And unmute.
Hi, I've been doing, I joined in April. I've been doing my journal, my data every day, and I have been looking at it. And I'm not losing weight. I lose and then it goes back up. And I admit I'm a daily weigher. But okay. The thing about it is as I evaluate my data, the thing I have to come up with is that I'm overeating. And okay. I know, like, the Kathy method and the this and the that, but I need some, I know logically what I should do, but I'm not, for some reason, motivated to do it.
So, okay. Can you remember the last time you were overeating? When was that?
That was a couple of days ago. I had a hamburger and I definitely was in the this is good and I want to finish it mode for that.
Okay. Okay. And did you answer those thoughts?
Yes. I pretty much said fuck it.
That's not answering. That's just a barrage of old shitty, like the defensive line just tackling right over you. Like, I want you to mount an offensive line against the old shitties. So that means every day your work is coming up with 2 to 3 good responses to the urging thoughts to eat past enough. So those would include things like eating past enough is not harmful. Like, think about it like this. So often we think eating to enough is, like, obviously a good thing. We need to eat food to stay alive. And it tastes so good that eating more must be fine. But it isn't. It's kind of like, think about a diabetic who takes insulin. Like, insulin helps her feel better and function better, right? It's a good thing. But the diabetic doesn't say, well, I'll just take twice my insulin. No, that would be harmful. The reason why we're overweight is because we're overeating. It's not benign. We have to start understanding that eating past enough is overtaxing our bodies with too many calories, too much fuel. It's an overload. It steals energy to have to process all that extra food. Right? Slows us down. It makes us sluggish. And then not only that, but we let ourselves down. So, like, I want you to think about really taking up this cause to stop believing that overeating is helping you. Like, what are you thinking that it does for you?
Well, I've gotten past the fear of, like, being afraid that I'll be out or doing something and then all of a sudden I'll get hungry. I think what it does for me is just like a little emotional hug. Like, this,
right?
This feels good.
Yes.
In the moment.
It totally does. And that is such a normal human habit. Like, we learn this when we're young. We have something nice, right, to eat. Mom gives it to us. We hang out with our family, we get that nice warm feeling, and we come to the conclusion, like, comfort, satisfaction, everything's okay. It's like reassurance, right? That's just a habit loop that you created. So what you want to do is honor your human need for comfort and satisfaction, but create it in other ways. Like, have a full menu of different things you can do to help yourself feel that way. Like I do, I get in my silk pajamas, I get in my fuzzy slippers, I make myself a cup of tea, right? I sometimes bring my pillow out to the couch. Like I am like the comfort queen now. There is no way that five extra bites of grilled chicken can do that for me anymore, right? I start to journal and I say like how I kicked ass that day. You know, that makes me feel amazing. So create rituals of satisfaction and comfort that do not involve food, right? And then give yourself permission to practice those, that new habit loop. So when you're sitting there and your brain is like, let's have more, it tastes so good. You say, yes, but I have all this other great stuff planned and I'd rather go to bed proud, having my own back and not overfeeding myself tonight. Okay?
Yes. Thank you.
Practice that. My pleasure. I'm going to go ahead and mute you. Candace, you are next.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to go hide in my office real quick.
Okay.
So mine is regarding planning. I've done the journaling that you suggested and I have like, I don't know, 10 thoughts on why I'm not journaling that like were coming up. And I've gotten to the point now that I'm at least journaling 5 days a week, which I think is, and that's just not journaling. I'm sorry, planning. So I'm planning about 5 days a week.
Okay.
But I journaled why I don't want to plan.
Okay. Why?
They come up as I got the classic, well, there goes the fun, spontaneity in my life is gone. I only do it because I feel like if it's working, so only if I'm seeing weight loss. Is it worth planning? I have thoughts of, well, there goes, it takes away from my me time. I have busy weekends. I'm not doing it because I'm busy. I find some of the questions on the planner hard to answer. So I prefer, so then I just don't do it because I don't like doing the bare minimum of just planning the food because then I feel like I'm wasting the page. So I know that's like all or nothing thinking.
Wow.
So my question for you, there's a lot of thoughts around it. So do I just pick one? Because what has been working for me now, at least for the 5 days, I've just been doing it on my phone in the notes app because then I'm not wasting pages.
Yeah.
It's really quick. I've gone to like basically just being a basic bitch where I'm just planning, I'm just assessing really quickly in my phone.
Yes.
Maybe I'll do like one question of, okay, what's going to be the biggest problem that's going to come up today that I can anticipate? And then how am I going to address it? So that's kind of been my bare minimum.
All right. So do you believe that planning will help you lose weight?
Yes, because ultimately, I guess even though I don't plan daily, I'm still a meal planner and I meal prep. So I basically know what are my lunches, what are my dinners, what I have similar things for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest weight loss issue is the snacking at night.
Okay.
And the wanting to emotionally eat. So,
all right. Well, those are two different things. Let me answer your first question, which is about the planning. So you saw, I want you to watch this replay or listen to it. Mm-hmm. Okay. You had just such a barrage of negative thoughts about planning.
Yes.
Like when you tell yourself, I don't want to plan, you basically program that into your brain and your brain is now looking for evidence of all the reasons why planning is terrible.
Right.
So you have to be vigilant and just be like, no, I love planning. I'm becoming someone who plans my way. Right? Because maybe you don't want to use the planner. That's fine.
Yeah.
You have to use the No BS planner. But planning is essential. Here's what I say about planning. I don't know how old you are, but I'm 51. And when I was learning how to drive, there was no GPS. Okay?
Right.
So when you were going on a trip, like you had your map, but you could get so lost, you didn't even know where you were on the map. Like, so you couldn't even figure out where you were. That's what I say planning is like. Without a plan and an ability to assess how you did with your plan, you are lost on the map of weight loss. You're just completely lost.
True. And I keep trying to think that data is like a gift, right? That if I could plan and assess, then I can actually go back and be like, when you eat these things, this is how you feel. Like you're not, or you're not losing weight.
Data is a gift. Planning is a gift. Because planning gives you data. You see that?
Yeah.
So don't let your brain be slippery about this. Your brain will tell you all kinds of outrageous things since you programmed this belief about planning. Your job is to pretend that, like, I'm paying you $10,000 to come up with a persuasive essay about how fantastic planning is.
Okay.
And look at it every day and just say it out loud and start programming that new belief. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Hope that helps. Okay. Is there anyone else who has their hand up? Anyone else? All right. Danielle? Okay. Go ahead, Danielle.
Hi, good morning. I'm just going to start my video.
Good morning.
Oh, sorry, my work background's on, but I don't care about that. So I have a question about my do goals. So one of my do goals is to leave 2 bites behind for the two-cone takedown. And so one of the things that I did to train my brain to get there is on my plan, when I'm assessing, I added for dinner, did I leave 2 bites behind? And I consistently don't leave my 2 bites behind. So I want to level up. And I thought, okay, maybe I'm trying to assess the reasons why I'm not leaving those bites behind. And I have tons of thoughts around that. But I thought maybe one of the strategies that I could use is to take 2 bites on my plate and actually put them aside as my 2 bites that I'm going to leave behind.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there. Thank you so much for asking this question in the way that you did, because you're giving me a perfect example. So your idea, we're not going to diss it at all, but I don't want you trying different strategies until you know why and you answer the question. Why are you not leaving 2 bites behind? What is the thought or belief that is driving the behavior? Remember that everything is think, feel, do. So when you are not completing one of those actions, that's on your do line. See? So your do would be not leaving 2 bites behind. And that's because you think what?
I think I'm losing consistently, so I don't think I need to leave 2 bites behind.
Okay. So if you're losing consistently, why did you leave 2 bites behind?
Because I honestly feel that on my journey, I have to feel okay with not cleaning my plate.
Okay.
And learning how to eat less to continue to lose.
Okay. But you're already eating less enough that you're losing. Here's the thing. I like 2 bites behind, but in my analogy of the bouncer, you're leaving your stomach out of this. You see, when you serve yourself and you're just like, I'm just going to leave 2 bites.
Ben Baxter Walburn, who actually took me up a few years ago with the Blue Angels, and now the boys got their chance. When I caught up with them on Friday night at Country Thunder.
Everyone is muted. Okay. So remember that doable hunger has to involve your actual stomach. This is an essential skill to reach your goal weight. Okay. So when you're saying leave 2 bites behind, I also want you to check in with the bouncer. What does the bouncer say? You might be resistant to leaving the bites because maybe you're not quite as satisfied. I mean, you can go ahead and unmute Danielle. What does your stomach say about this? Do you feel like you're satisfied?
I mean, it's 2 bites. So I don't feel like leaving the 2 bites is going to leave me famished. And I'm really good at after dinner closing the kitchen. So on the nights that I do leave 2 bites behind, I'm absolutely fine.
Okay.
So I guess then I don't really need two bites at every meal. Like I could easily leave those two bites and be fine with it.
Okay, so why aren't you?
Again, it comes back to because I'm losing consistently, I don't feel like I have to.
Okay.
But so, in my mind, I still want the thought to be able to say that I can consistently leave two bites behind.
Why is that so important to you?
Because where I'm at, I've already had to adjust doable hunger. So I've already done other strategies and I've had to adjust the amount of food I'm taking in to continue to lose. And I know I'm going to have to keep doing that. And I want to make sure that I continue to be okay with eating less.
Right.
To continue on my journey.
Ah, I see. So you're like, it was really hard to do last time. So I just want to keep up the habit of non-attachment to my food so that when the time comes, right, like I'll still be in the practice of doing it. But here's one thing to consider. I mean, I get what you're saying. And I think you're being very conscientious and dedicated and looking at it like a pro. But if you're already not leaving the bites behind and you're losing weight, you kind of need your weight loss to plateau or stall in order to know when you need to start leaving extra bites behind.
Okay.
Right? That kind of like creates a more structured experiment, if you will, with the amount of food that you're eating. If you were my client, my one-on-one client, I would encourage you to really dial into your stomach and what that feedback is telling you, whether or not you are satisfied. That is the gold standard to knowing how much is an appropriate amount to eat for weight loss. If you can nail that down, I mean, it doesn't matter if there's two bites left or whatever, you'll just know when you're done. And you don't need to, you can overserve, you can underserve, you'll know to take more if you need more, right? Okay. Maybe two bites behind is a good first step to starting to eat less. Like it's like training wheels on when you're learning to ride a bike, but you're more advanced. You're already losing weight. You're already having success. Play with that. That's what I'm going to encourage you to do.
Okay.
Okay. See, I'm giving you advice to eat more.
Yeah.
All right. I hope that helps, Denise.
It was helpful. Thank you.
Is there anyone else with questions? Otherwise, we can move on to pro versus amateur. Anyone else? Okay. I'm going to share my screen. Hold on. Let me get this up here. Does anybody have questions while I'm getting this up on the screen?
Heather, I'm sorry, this is Mary. There's a lady in the chat that can't find her hand to raise, and she does have a question, and everyone's been trying to help her.
Oh, is that Mary?
Yeah, this is Mary, sorry.
Oh, okay.
I think her name is Mary, now I can't see your last name, Blanche Floyd.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Mary. You can unmute. I'll take your question.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good morning. Okay.
Thank you so much. For some reason I cannot find the hand raised. So, All right. So my question, this summer, we have a cabin up in the northern woods of Wisconsin. And so we have a lot of house guests that we entertain, a weekend, a whole week type of thing. And I find myself, everybody brings food. I'm not a drinker, so that's not usually an issue. But everybody, brings all their favorite foods and entertaining. So typically at home, I'm really good about doing my plans in the morning, even up at the cabin, I'll sit, outside and do my planning and my journaling when everybody's having their coffee. But at home, I don't typically even eat breakfast. A lot of times I don't eat lunch, but because everybody else is sitting down to eat, I feel like I need to be social and it's there. And a lot of people, they're my friends and they know, you know, that I'm trying to cut back, but it's there. We have a boat, so we take out the boat. Everybody else is drinking. I'm always just drinking water. I'm not a big drinker, but I do have that feeling of I'm not being social if I'm not sitting down to eat. For example, it was a very stressful week actually up there. I had my elderly parents up there, and my mom and dad are so set on their schedules. Mm-hmm. And one day it was raining, so we were all inside, and she kept saying, "Are you hungry? Are you hungry? You want to have lunch? You want to have lunch?" Because she wanted to sit down and be social with everybody. She wanted everybody to sit and have lunch. And I kept saying, "You know, I'm not really hungry, Mom. I'm going to keep doing my puzzle." And it was just hard not to. I mean, I could have just sat, and we were sitting and talking, but. Mm-hmm. Trying to control myself by saying I'm not hungry, but she just wanted, because she's mom, to make us lunch and to have us sit down and
yes.
eat. So I was feeling guilty about that.
Okay. So guilty mm-hmm. is a feeling that we create with the thoughts we're choosing to think about the situation. So your work is on emotional responsibility. Your mom has her responsibility for her emotions, and you have your responsibility for yours. So know that your mom isn't making you feel guilty. You're choosing that by taking on a responsibility to make her happy when that's her job, right? Mm-hmm. It's like a form of people pleasing, right? And think about it this way. If you're eating when you don't want to, is that honest? Like that, you need to make a choice and own your decision either way. Like you either have to choose, say, I'm going to choose to eat when I'm not hungry and accept 100% responsibility for the results I get from that when I'm at the cabin. It's a cabin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or you're going to need to find a way. Like you don't have to make a grand pronouncement that you're not going to eat. You can just kind of move food around on your plate. Some people prefer to do that because they don't like the questions. It's the same with drinking. Like some people just prefer to like carry a drink with a lemon in it or something, and they just don't want to answer questions about it. But the main thing is that you stay in integrity with yourself, that you feel good about your choices and the feelings that you're generating. So how do you want to feel? I would lead with that. Like with these social situations and the food, you said you wanted to feel connected, right?
Mm-hmm.
So your thought error is in thinking that the food is giving you the eating of the food. Like food going down your throat is magically making you connect with other people. Mm-hmm. It isn't. It's your thoughts. Oh, we're all eating together. We're so connected. And you can do that with a cup of tea if you want.
Right. And so a boat is kind of feeling left out, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, can't I enjoy all that good food?
Yeah, but then it goes back to that choice, right? I choose. So maybe you just choose to have a little bit, or maybe you can adjust your other eating so that you can enjoy your meal. Like decide which meal or two you want to enjoy with the other people at the cabin and be proactive, right? Design it the way that you want to and give yourself a win, but always come back to I choose. Is that
another issue that came up with that, with having the family up there? I mean, you know, I see my mother and talk to her, not every day, but every other day. She's close by, but being with the family in a cabin for 4 days really, I bite my tongue because I'm a people pleaser and I'm a fixer. Okay. And seeing my parents get old and start losing, you know, their mental and physical abilities. They're 88, and just seeing the decline of them and the constant repeating of stories over and over for the whole weekend. So when we got home for 2 days, I was just, you know, just mentally exhausted. There's a lot of stuff going on with that. And so I journal a lot. I plan every single day, and I really journal what I had. Like, my body just shut down for almost 2 days after that, mentally. And I did those 2 days because
ask you a question. Uh-huh. What are you making it mean that your parents are struggling age-wise?
Again, guilt that I'm, you know, what more can I do for them to enjoy, you know, their last time on earth, you know?
Wow. That's all very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I have, for my people pleasers out there, I really hope y'all are coming to camp, because there's a whole.
I'm going to be in vacation that week, and I'm so, okay. You know,
well,
I'm really looking forward to it.
All right. If you can't come to camp, search for people pleasing on the website replays. And I want you to watch those calls, those segments of those calls, in emotional responsibility again. So you've got to be, a very vigilant watcher of your thoughts, taking on emotions that are optional. So we know that parents aging is a fact of life.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to take on guilt because of that, but you are. So I want you to own that. Like, every time you think a thought that causes guilt within you for human beings who are aging, you know, I want you to say, I'm creating this. How else would I like to feel during the time I have with my parents? Would there be a feeling that would better serve me? Right. So, all right, I'm going to end it there. But again, three things, write these down. When you have a thought, is it true? Is it telling the whole story? Whole story, not just the old shitty side, the whole story. Number two, is it helpful? Is it helping you to feel guilty when you think about your parents aging? Probably not. And number three, is it kind? Kind meaning, is it helping you reach your goals? Is it helping you stay emotionally regulated the way that you want to be? Okay. All right. We're ready to share screen. We're moving on. This is where I'm going to invite you guys to really think about becoming weight loss pros. You guys are in no BS. You have excellent coaching. You have excellent tools. You're showing up. You guys are pros. So there's some slight shifts in how you want to start thinking about, let's see. Now, are you seeing amateurs and pros?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. For those of you listening on the podcast, I'm just going to read this off. If you guys want to take notes, who are actually in class or watching the video, go ahead and do this. So we're doing ways to think about being in weight loss, an amateur in weight loss versus a pro in weight loss. So amateurs show up inconsistently. Weight loss pros show up every day and do the four basics. Weight loss amateurs believe that weight loss should work the way they want it to. Pros realize they have to work with weight loss as they find it day by day. Okay, number three, amateurs take a break from the program when they have a good weigh-in, right? Like, they might relax or overeat. Pros see a good weigh-in as a cue to keep going and keep their foot on the gas. Amateurs think challenges are, they make them about their personal limitations. I can't do this. I'm not cut out for this. I've never been successful, right? Pros see challenges as part of the path to a larger self-growth and mastery, self-mastery journey. Okay. Number five, amateurs complain about the hard parts. Think about an Olympic athlete. Are they bitching when they don't make their time in cross country? No. they find a way to fall in love with the practice and their new habits. Number six, amateurs make big changes that are unsustainable. Weight loss pros look for easy 1% level ups that are sustainable.
It's winning, looking out the window.
Uh-oh. You guys, can you make sure that you're muted, please? Okay, number seven. Hold on, I need my chat box. There, I got it. Nope. Mary, you also need to be muted. Okay. Sorry, guys. I got off my game. What number am I on? Let's see. I think number seven. Okay. Weight loss amateurs don't invest in figuring out what will improve their weight loss. They just get exasperated, right? They don't invest the time. They don't look at their data like we're doing today. Pros analyze challenges, bad weigh-ins, or like a habit tracker that shows you're still overeating. And then they design potential solutions from those challenges. And they're always asking why. Amateurs focus on being perfect actions, or being right versus wrong. And weight loss pros focus on taking the next best action in the moment. Amateurs use harsh self-talk to demand compliance. Weight loss pros use positive self-talk and self-compassion. Weight loss amateurs fear negative emotions and resist, react to, or avoid them, usually by overeating or snacking when they're not hungry, because of fear. I don't want to feel angry. I don't want to feel sad. I hate feeling anxious, right? Pros understand that negative emotions are part of the process, and they start to feel their emotions on purpose. Last one is, amateurs focus on, this is written wrong, sorry. Amateurs focus on creating the goal scale number. So if your goal weight is 155, that's all they think about. 155, 155, 155. Anything that's not 155 is a failure. But weight loss pros, they focus on creating the lifestyle that's going to support the future version of themselves at goal weight. So they're constantly thinking about, you know, what would me at goal weight be doing this morning? How would she be eating? How would she be exercising? How would she be planning her day? Okay. All right. I'm going to stop the share. Let's take any questions in the chat if there are any. Let me know what they are because we're getting ready to wrap up. We've gone over six ways to analyze your data. We've gone over differences between being an amateur in weight loss and being a pro in weight loss. And I'm challenging you guys to really step up to pro status. Number six. Yeah, I will go ahead and put the amateur versus pro differences on the show notes. I'm more than happy to do that. All right. I have time for one more question. Does anyone else have a question? Raise your hand. Go down to reactions on the bottom. Click it and then click raise hand if you have any questions. If not, we're going to go ahead and get out of here. Shira. Okay, Shira, you might be an amateur, but at least you have a blueprint for how to move into pro status. Okay. Thanks, you guys. Thanks, Diane. Judy G, thank you. Thank you so much for joining me. We have one more question from Wynn. You can go ahead and start your camera, Wynn.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so I have, when I was going through either your six data points, I'm not quite sure where this fits. I think it might either fit under eating when not hungry or eating off plan. But okay. I what keeps coming back up is that I'm either having more drinks than I have put on my plan, or have drinks when I don't have them on my plan. So I'm not following, and that doesn't really fall under hunger, right? Because it's not a hungry thing. So I'm not quite sure how to attack that.
Okay. Why aren't you just planning for the number of drinks that you're actually drinking?
Because I have thoughts around whether I should be doing that on any given day.
Okay. That's your work right there. Do you notice how you said that? So for all of you, this is the template. If you're not doing what you want to be doing, you ask why. Why are you doing that? Why are you not planning for what you're drinking? She gave me the answer. She has thoughts about it, right? So then she said, because I think I should be drinking a certain amount. And that's it right there. You see that challenge? Remember I said human beings don't like to be told what to do? So when your work is owning your choices, like, you've got to take 100% responsibility for your choices, own how they make you feel, and own the results that that is giving you in your life. Right? And if you want to change, you've got to work on your why. Why are you drinking? Again, it's just like food. The only thing drinking does is, I don't know, it's a neurotoxin. Some people find it enjoyable, right? But again, it's just like food. Certain amount can be enjoyable, and then over a certain amount or enough is like no longer enjoyable. So maybe getting really clear in your journaling, like what that difference is, and then really, like, again, just like as if I'm paying you $10,000 to write a persuasive essay about why drinking more than you want to is not harmful.
Mm.
Right? Why it's actually like letting yourself down, and it's disappointing yourself, and maybe there's other things that you don't like that are happening. So really owning that process, that's why I ended up quitting drinking about a year and a half ago, because the benefits that I used to think about drinking, I wasn't getting them anymore. And I just did this like comparison. I realized not even one drink was I finding a benefit from. Mm-hmm. So I don't have an agenda for anybody, but I want you to own your choices. So never start with I should or I shouldn't. You always start with I choose. So right now, maybe it's I'm choosing to drink more than I want to, and I'm working on embracing, choosing, drinking less. And that's where your work is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Hope that helps.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. We went a little bit over. Thank you so much for joining me on a Monday morning. Make sure you've got your plans written. Make sure you get your data done. We're weighing in on the 2-pound takedown. If you're on the fence about camp, please go ahead and sign up. If it's a choice that's available to you, we're going to have such a great time with this. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk soon. Bye.